Well, I'm so glad we are in the presence of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts to listen to his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence today. We thank you for your goodness to us. The Bible tells us goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And Lord, we can testify to that because in this year of 2015, as we approach the end, we can look back and see that your goodness and your mercy have been pursuing us all the days of this year and the many years of our lives gone by. We thank you and bless you for the privilege of celebrating your son, celebrating his birth, and celebrating his death, his burial, and his resurrection even today as we prepare our hearts for that moment. We pray now that your Holy Spirit will take over this time and bless our time together so that your name will be magnified, exalted, and lifted up high. And I pray that in the precious and powerful name of Jesus our Lord and all God's people said, Amen. Well, a man who played double bass in the Mexico City Philharmonic said that the finest instruments are made of wood that has been allowed to age naturally to remove the moisture. You must age the wood for 80 years. Imagine that. Then play the instrument for 80 years before it reaches its best sound, said Luis Antonio Ruiz. He goes on, a craftsman must use wood cut and aged by someone else, and he will never see any instrument reach its peak during his own lifetime. If he did, he will have to be 160 years or more. You see, many important things in life are next generation matters. For example, teaching, training, and parenting, which most of you here have done, are among them. The Apostle Paul invested himself in people whose spiritual influence will continue long after he was gone from this earth. One of these people was Timothy, whom he affectionately and admirably called my beloved son. Thinking about next generation matters, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, urgently exhorts Timothy to stand firm, to stay focused on the task of transmitting the Christian faith, which he had the privilege of learning from Paul, to the next generations of Christians. So the question is, what about us? Are we living only for today and the short term? Or are we investing ourselves in others who will continue the faith after our race is run? Because one of these days, your race will be finished and my race will be finished. Are we concerned about passing on what we have learned to others who in turn commit them to the next generation of believers? You see, living for Christ and making disciples are all about the next generation. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given to me from his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are going to begin our series in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is our first message in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've finished with chapter 1. Now we are beginning chapter 2. Please, I want you to pay very close attention to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is determined and delighted to plant the seed of God's divine and dependable truth in order to transform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, who is the rock and refuge of the church, and to turn unbelievers from their sin of unbelief, carefully and compassionately leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer and redeemer of lost sinners. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I encourage you to listen attentively to it with an open heart and an open mind. Here is the message. The believer in Jesus Christ, that is you and that is me. So this message applies to you and it applies to me. The believer in Jesus Christ must stay strong in Christ and stay focused on the pressing and necessary task of passing on God's truth to the next generation of faithful Christians. I repeat, the believer in Jesus Christ must stay strong in Christ and stay focused on the pressing and necessary task of passing on God's truth to the next generation of Christians. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to freshly and forcefully remind us and impress upon our hearts that in the face of a spiritual battle for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers in Christ, again, that is you and me, will need to stand firm, stay strong in Christ, hold to the faith, and stay focused on the task to which believers have been called. That is the pressing and necessary task of passing on God's truths and teachings to the next generation. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. That's all we'll look at today. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. The Bible says this, listen, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." These entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us a passage of scripture, which is a single sentence in the original. This single sentence passage, translated into two sentences in most of our Bible translations, can be described, listen carefully, as a passage that is highlighting the strength of Christ and the service of Christ. Those two things you see in this passage. The strength of Christ and the service of Christ. First of all, it highlights the strength of Christ because, listen, it vividly depicts the fact that the Christian life, listen, is not to be lived in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ. The Christian life is not to be lived in your own strength or my own strength, but in the strength of Christ. You see, spiritual or supernatural strength is required for the Christian life. That strength, the Bible tells us today, is found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is why Timothy is passionately exhorted to be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Second, this passage highlights the service of Christ because, listen, it visually describes the critical service of entrusting truth, God's truth and teachings, or the truth and teachings of the Bible to the next generation of trustworthy believers. Please let me ask you, are you deeply concerned about the future of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, you will leave no stone unturned in passing on the truths you have been taught from the Word of God to faithful followers of Christ, who in turn will pass it on to other Christians. This is what the Bible is going to point to us. Well, having just whetted your spiritual appetite, and I hope you have a lot of it, please allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this passage to you from start to finish. First of all, we will examine the Bible's call to be strong in Christ in verse 1. Knowing very well the challenges and conflicts Timothy will be facing in his life in the service of Christ, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, sounded a clarion call to Timothy to stay strong in Christ. He's to be strong in the grace that is in Christ. So the question is, what does it mean for the believer to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Is being strong in the grace of Christ a one-time event, or is it something that is ongoing? Well, the Bible will answer these questions for us in a moment. Second and finally, we will explore the Bible's teaching, focusing on the charge to commit the truths of the gospel to the next generation of Christians in verse 2. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there is a charge given to you and given to me. That is the charge of committing the truths of the gospel to the next generation. I tell you, friends, the charge to pass on. Is somebody there? The charge to pass on the truth of Scripture, or the truth of the gospel, or the teachings of the Bible to faithful believers, thank you, to faithful followers of Christ, who will in turn pass it on or pass them on to other Christians, is so deeply important to God and must be deeply important to you and to me as well. Actually, as we are going to see very soon in verse 2 of chapter 2, four generations will be involved in this matter of passing on the truths of Scripture to other faithful believers. We'll discover that in verse 2. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others represent four generations built on the enduring foundation of the gospel. Please listen, every believer in Jesus Christ must look on himself or herself as a link between two generations. There's a generation before you, and then your generation, and then a generation after you. So you are a link between two different generations. And I am a link between two different generations. Well, having given you a brief overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper to discover the wonderful and winsome spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so enthused to impress upon our hearts in order to do his good and glorious work of forming Christ in all genuine born-again believers among us here today. So we begin, first of all, with his teaching, focusing on the call to be strong in Christ in verse 1. Will you please listen carefully again to what the Bible says in verse 1? It says what? You, therefore, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This verse literally reads, you therefore, child of me, be empowered by the grace in Christ Jesus. So Timothy is here. Timothy is here being exhorted to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That grace is not in Paul. It is not in any other apostle. It is in who alone? Jesus Christ alone. In other words, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy begins with an urgent call to Timothy to stay strong in Christ Jesus, his Lord, his Master, his Redeemer, and his Savior. Please notice that verse 1 begins with, therefore. You therefore. So the crucial question is, what is that therefore? Therefore. Well, the therefore is there to point us back to the positive example of Onesiphorus. Remember Onesiphorus, the useful man to Paul? He was profitable for Paul. He was used by God to refresh Paul again and again by his visits to him in his cold, damp, and dark dungeon. His visits, no doubt, strengthened Paul. But the Bible is now showing us that while genuine friendships, such as described between Paul and Onesiphorus, may give a boost or strength to others, the ultimate source of strength is in Jesus Christ. You see, doing God's service requires what? Divine strength. I don't stand here to do God's work in my own strength. If I did, I would not last here for any time more than a year. Even that would be a miracle. Spiritual work requires what? Spiritual strength. The Bible is saying that that strength is found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now the question, the Greek word translated be strong or be empowered comes from the verb endunamo. Endunamo. It also means to strengthen, to make strong. Now this is not physical strength. So remember that. It is talking about spiritual strength. God's desire for you and for me as believers in Jesus Christ is that we be what? Physically strong. Because we are in a conflict. We are in a battle. And it will take spiritual strength from Christ himself to make us strong so that we can fulfill the destiny for which he's given us life. That word also means vigorous. So since the verb is in the present imperative form, it implies that being strong or being empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is to be an ongoing practice in Timothy's life and for that matter, all other believers in Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying to Timothy, through the Holy Spirit, my son, keep on being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Keep on being empowered. Keep on being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. Keep on staying strong in Christ. In other words, as long as Timothy is giving life to serve Christ, he must do what? He must endeavor to stay strong in Christ. He must constantly draw from the strength of Christ. So now an important question at this juncture is this. What does it mean to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? How can you, the believer in Jesus, be strong in grace, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Well, please listen carefully. Being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus means to be courageous with the strength which his grace provides to you and to me. To be courageous in with the strength which his grace provides. It means to go on faithfully for Christ with the undeserved ability that comes through our relationship and union with him. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God supernaturally endues you with his strength, with his power. so that you can fulfill the task he has given to you. Remember, grace, charis, means what? Undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. So just as we are saved by grace, so also we should live by grace. This means trusting fully, completely, totally in Christ and in his power, and not trying to live for Christ in our own puny little failing and fading strength. So, for you to be strong in Christ, what is the key? You must have that relationship with Christ and draw from him that undeserved ability. Because I don't deserve to have God's supernatural power working in my life. I don't deserve it. That is why it says this strength is in the grace of Christ Jesus. It's undeserved, given freely to you who believe and belong to him. It's like Paul is saying to Mr. Honored by God. That's what the name Timothy means. It means honored by God. He says to the young pastor, don't make the mistake of trying to live for Christ and serving Christ in your own feeble and failing strength. Rather, on an ongoing basis, receive and utilize Christ's power. Receive it. It's there. The only thing that can block that strength coming into your life and my life is sin. But if sin is not there, that strength will flow into your life and my life. He says, Christ must be constantly the source of your strength, Timothy. Keep on staying strong in Christ. Let him continually be your strength. What God said to Timothy through the Holy Spirit in the first century, he's now saying to you and me, living in the 21st century. Please, let's not make the mistake of living for Christ and serving Christ in our own feeble and failing strength. Rather, let Christ continually be the source of our strength. Then, and only then, we will keep on staying strong in Christ. Every day, when I live and connect with Christ, allowing him to be the source of my strength, then I can stay strong in Christ. But if not, I will fail. I'll falter. I'll fumble. And you too. That will happen to you. While Dr. McGee shares this practical and poignant insight, he writes, quote, I love this. Be strong in grace. My friend, if you think that you can grit your teeth and go out and live the Christian life on your own, you are in for a great disappointment. If you feel you can follow a few little rules or some clever gimmicks to make you a mature Christian, then you have fallen into a subtle trap of legalism. Paul gives no rules. We are saved by grace, and now we are to live by the grace of God and be strong in that grace. End quote. Wonderful words and very practical indeed. Well, having examined the Bible's teaching centering on the call to be strong in Christ, let's now explore its instruction focusing on the charge to commit the truths of the gospel to the next generation of Christians in verse 2. Timothy is now charged with the responsibility of passing on to others the inspired teachings he had the privilege of receiving from Paul. You see, Paul was soon to pass off the scene. Before that, he charges Timothy to commit what he had faithfully taught Timothy to others. So please listen carefully again to what the Bible says in verse 2. because it's very critical for you and I to hear what God is saying in that verse. The Bible says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Remember, Paul was soon to pass off the scene. He was in prison and about to be executed. But he was deeply concerned about the future. See, sometimes when people are in trouble, they can just be so focused on their trouble and not think about what happens next or what will happen when they are gone. But Paul was not like that. Even in trouble, about to face death, he was thinking about the future. So he was deeply concerned about the future. His deep concern was for the faithful proclamation of the Bible's true teachings without addition or subtraction. He wanted the gospel to be preserved for the coming generations. And what's that key for the preservation of the gospel for the next generation? Well, the key was to find those who were faithful and competent to whom to pass on the truths of the gospel. If you want to pass on something for your family down to the next generation, are you going to give it to someone who you know is reckless? Someone who you know will squander whatever you want to pass on even before it gets to the next generation? No, you make sure the person you give it to is what? Reliable. Somebody who can truly do what you have said. Making sure that mom said, dad said, I should pass this on to this person. And making sure that person gets what has been set aside to be passed on to him or her. Well, this was the case for Timothy. Hence the charge to Timothy to commit to others the treasure or the good deposit he had received from Paul to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, the gospel is not just to be believed and received. And I know most of you here believe the gospel. You have received the gospel. But do you know that the believer in Jesus Christ also has the responsibility of passing on the gospel to others who in turn be faithful in continuing that process? Well, that's what Paul is talking about. Actually, this verse is one of my life verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. 2:2:2. It's how I remember it. Why is it personal to me? Well, every time I prepare to preach the Word of God, I always ask the Holy Spirit to enable me to fulfill this. That is to pass on the truths of Scripture to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. And then the process will continue until Jesus Christ returns. In fact, there's so much here to learn from this verse. There are four important key teachings in this verse. And please, I urge you to pay careful attention to it. If you can write them all down. Because four essential truths have been revealed to us in this verse. The first one is this. It's the privilege of receiving the truths of God, of the gospel. What a privilege Timothy had to receive the truths of the gospel from Paul. Notice the Bible says at the beginning of verse 2, and the things which you have heard from me. You see, throughout this letter, Paul emphasizes the message Timothy has received from him. He does that in chapter 1, verse 13, where he says, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. So that's the first place he emphasized that. Timothy, you received something from me. And then here in chapter 2, verse 2, he tells him that the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And then later in chapter 2, verse 8, he points again to the things Timothy has heard from him. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel." So, what did Timothy hear from Paul? He heard the gospel in its purity and simplicity. He heard Paul's preaching and teaching repeatedly on Paul's second and third missionary journeys. You see, Timothy came to join Paul from his second missionary journey. From that point on to the day Paul died, Timothy was with Paul, listening to his teachings and preachings. He heard sound words or health-giving words of the God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He heard divine truths which God had revealed through Paul. Oh, what a privilege it was for Timothy to sit under the faithful, fresh, fervent, and forceful preaching and teaching of Paul. And thankfully, listen, believers have the same privilege today. You say, how? Well, because we have the record of not only Paul's preaching, but that of what? The Lord Jesus and the other apostles. We have it. So we can also have that privilege of receiving messages from Paul and from the other apostles. May I say to us, believers are very privileged people. We have the most important, the most treasured document ever given to mankind by God Almighty. This is the Bible. We are privileged to have everything we need for life and godliness in this book given to us. And that is why the enemy is doing everything to tarnish the Bible. But thanks be to God, he has won. Well, second, notice the Bible that very carefully that the Bible speaks of the presence of many witnesses. So the first fact we learn here is the privilege Timothy had to receive the truth of the gospel from Paul. Second is the presence of many witnesses. You see, what Timothy had the privilege of receiving from Paul, the Bible tells us, was in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, the words, the teachings, the gospel truths Timothy heard were confirmed by the witness of many who were prepared to say, "These words are true and trustworthy, and I know them, and I found them to be so in my own life." So you ask, who are some of the many witnesses in whose presence Timothy heard what Paul had taught? Well, some of these witnesses include Silas, Barnabas, Luke, Titus, Trophimus, Epaphroditus, Aristarchus, Apollos, Onesiphorus, and many others in the churches who could attest to the divine authenticity of Paul's teaching. So what's the point of this? Well, the point here is that the things Timothy heard from Paul, listen, were not taught to Timothy alone. You see, cults of our times often teach their misguided and misled followers that they, listen, the leaders of this of the cults received their message or revelation in secret. No one was there when they received their message. They were there and then in their secret and closed place, wherever they were, then they received that message. It's only given to them. And you know why they say that? They use the secrecy to hold their followers in bondage. Because we only heard it. I'm the only one who heard it. You didn't hear it. And I'm teaching it to you. Well, but Timothy didn't have to worry about that. Because why? Other people heard what was taught by Paul. And therefore, they can witness that this was true and trustworthy. Well, third is the pressing task of committing the truths of the gospel to others. The Greek word translated entrust comes from the verb parathithemi. It also means to commit, to entrust for safekeeping or transmission to others, to pass on. And notice very carefully that it is a command given to Timothy, not a comment. It is a specific order given by the Holy Spirit through Paul to Timothy, not a suggestion or opinion. It is a divine directive given to Timothy, not something to debate or discuss. The Holy Spirit is telling Timothy exactly what God wants him to do. This is why it is a pressing task. The task is defined, it is divine, it is clear, and it is commanded. Therefore, Timothy cannot say, "I don't know what you are talking about, God." There can be no excuse on the part of Timothy. Fourth, notice very carefully the persons to whom Timothy is charged to entrust the truth of the gospel. Listen carefully. The Bible is very careful in identifying the people to whom the Christian faith is to be transmitted. You see, Timothy's day of service will be short at best. And he too should so order his ministry that others will be prepared to carry on after he's gone to be with the Lord. The Bible describes these persons as faithful men in the original pistois anthropois. Timothy is charged with the responsibility of taking the divine revelation he has received from Paul in the presence of many witnesses and teaching it to other faithful men. The word faithful is very important. The Bible was very careful to preserve that word for us. In the singular form, it is pistos. It also means worthy to be believed, trustworthy, one believing in the gospel of Christ, reliable, a believer. A person who is a pistos is a person who is believing, who is loyal, who is reliable, who is dependable, whose heart is so stayed on Christ that no threat of danger will lure him from the path of loyalty, and who will not stray from the straight path of the truth. So Timothy is to commit the truth to faithful men, that is, people who are genuine born-again believers and who are themselves dependable, steadfast in the Lord and his service, men with proven spiritual character and giftedness. So please listen. As I said earlier, every believer in Jesus Christ must look on himself or herself as a link between two generations, the generation before you and the generation after you. You have a link to them.
and your life can touch them for good or for bad. And my life can touch those generations for good and for bad. E.K. Simpson writes on this passage, and I quote, "The torch of heavenly light must be transmitted unquenched from one generation to another. And Timothy must count himself an intermediary between apostolic," that is the age of Paul, "and later ages." So the Bible says these faithful men will in turn pass on the truth to others who will be competent, capable, qualified, worthy, fit, able to teach others also. Please notice that, as I said earlier, there are four generations of believers or godly leaders in this verse. Namely, generation one, that is of Paul. Two, the generation of Timothy and many witnesses. Three, the generation of faithful men. And then four, the generation of others. Bible commentator and pastor Gary Demarest shared this powerful insight on this verse. And he writes, and I quote, "The extinction of Christianity is always but one generation away." Ponder that. But as long as one person teaches another, who teaches another, the Christian community continues. We have yet to hear the stories that are now beginning to come out of China. In spite of the totalitarianism of communism, designed to stamp out all religions, we now know that there have been thousands of faithful people passing the gospel along from one generation to another. They certainly must have needed special strength, and they obviously found it. Remember, we talked about the strength of Christ. Despite oppression and challenges on every hand, they were able to resist the assumption that communism is the end of Christianity. The only possible end to Christianity would be our failure to transmit the gospel to men and women who transmit the gospel to faithful men and women who will. On goes the process. End quotes. So you see, friends, the process of spiritual reproduction, which began in the early church, is to continue until the Lord Jesus returns. So what will it fully look like for believers like you and me if we were to heed the call to be strong in Christ and the charge to pass on the truths of the gospel to other believers? Well, first of all, we will stop trying to live for Christ and serve Christ in our own strength. We will constantly have to look to Christ as the source of our strength. We will continually depend on His strength to do His work. As such, we will stay strong in Christ. Second, we will have to confess that we have not done a good job of passing on the truth of the gospel to other believers. How many faithful believers have you personally here today passed on the truths of the gospel to in your lifetime as a believer in Jesus Christ? Please think hard about that. How committed are you in your Father's business of passing on His truth to the next generation of believers before your race ends? And before my race ends, I believe with all my heart that if the church, that is true, genuine, born-again believers, were to consistently heed the charge to pass on the truth of the gospel, the church will expand geometrically as well-taught believers who will teach others and commission them in turn to teach so others. You see, disciples need to be equipped to pass on their faith. So your work and my work is not done until new believers are able to make disciples of others. That is your work and that is my work. You see, like seed, God's word must be continually planted in the hearts of faithful followers of Christ, who in turn will pass it on to others. And as they do, the process of sowing and reaping will continue until the Lord of the harvest returns. You see, you were taught by someone the truth of the gospel. Someone helped you to understand the teachings of the Bible. So the question is, are you planting seeds for the next harvest? Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you cannot be strong in Christ, let alone serve in His strength. To be strong in Christ and serve in His strength, you must first of all be saved by His grace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." So the Bible is saying you can only be saved by God's grace, not by your good works. The Bible is saying you can only be saved through faith in Jesus, not by your fame or your fortunes or your fat paychecks. Simply turn to Jesus today, just as you are, and tell Jesus today that you are a sinner who cannot be strong in Him, let alone serve in His strength. Trust Jesus today with simple, sincere, childlike faith that He died on the cross for your sins, and that He rose, He was buried to put away your sins, and that He rose again from the dead to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And thank God, thank Jesus today that He's so rich in grace, and to make it abundantly available to save you and to save me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you today. We thank you for the reminder today that you have called us to be strong in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive us for the times we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, and then we fail again and again, and we wonder what happened to our lives. Thank you, Father God, that you are a God who is so loving and so forgiving. I pray, Father God, for each one of us. You have given us a task to pass on the truths of the Scripture to others. Help us to do that with confidence, knowing that when we do so, one day we will hear from you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in few things. Now enter the joy of your master." Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us today, tomorrow, till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.